So repose is just what you said. It's pretty much lying.
That's right.
Lying on your back. Put your arms out. Like you said, you're making a snow angel.
So your arms are horizontal.
Right.
Your legs are spread out as far as they can be spread out.
Okay.
Your jaw is relaxed.
Okay.
Your eyes can be open or closed.
Okay.
And you can think about whatever you want to or not think about anything. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
And the reason repose works is there's a phenomenon called somatic feedback. This dates back to William James.
Okay.
It says that the body leads the mind in many situations.
Mm-hmm.
We don't run from the bear, according to James, because we feel fear.
Right.
Because as I told you before, there's a half second delay. So if we waited to feel fear, we'd be bear lunch.
Yeah.
But instead, we feel fear because we recognize what's happening in our bodies, including the fact that we started to run from this large creature that's chasing us.
Mm-hmm.
So the body leads our minds very often. And in repose, this is exactly what happens. Create a state of physical openness and receptivity, and the mind will follow.
Okay.
And so I teach two tools for people who want to tap into their creativity.
Mm-hmm.
One is immerse yourself in play, because when you focus on play, that is as good as any meditation as creating a pinpoint absorption of attention.
Right.
When people play, they lose themselves. Look at children in play. So this is how you empty yourself, and you fill yourself by doing repose. And I just wrote a paper that was published in Gifted Studies International, and in this paper, I co-wrote it with June Maker, a retired faculty at the University of Arizona, and we basically said, emptying and filling, these two techniques through play and repose can be put into classrooms and put into other learning environments to stimulate the creative experiences.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that a little bit with kids. Say people have kids or they have grandkids and things like that. How do teachers nurture the creativity in children? Because people talk about how important that is to kind of get that spark going when people are young.
I say, first of all, don't focus on product.
Okay.
The product doesn't matter.
Okay.
So what's important is the experience. And so the first thing that parents and adults need to do is remove judgment from that whole process.
Okay.
So your child comes and brings you something they drew. And you say, first thing you say is what? Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter. In other words, I don't want the child to do this for the evaluation of the product.
Right.
I would rather see parents ask their child, how did it feel to create this?
Right.
And the other thing is encourage children to cut loose, which they have a proneness to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing I do with adults. So when people come to do a workshop, which we don't call them workshop because I don't want to think about it as work. I want to think of it as a play circle.
Sure.
In a play circle that's a creative play circle, I encourage people not to sing, but to shout and howl and yelp.
Mm-hmm.
Cut loose. Disinhibit yourself.
Right.
I encourage them not to draw, but to scribble.
Okay.
Because that is... scribbling and screaming and shouting are expressions of pure joy and delight.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that we try to control it, corral it, and limit it. And we want to have control, so we want to be successful in the world.
Right.
You know, I want to create something pretty. It doesn't matter.
Right.
The experience, for me, deep creativity is all about the experience.
Right.
The experience of creating is potentially transformative, and the product is secondary. And that's what I would say, is with children, focus on the experience of creating, on the feeling of what it feels like to create, and don't worry about the product.
Right.
The product takes care of itself.
Right.
If you're in an inspired state, you tend to create something that's inspired.
Right. Yeah. That's very cool. Yeah, no kidding. You are heading to one group that promotes the experience of inspiration, Playhaven. Talk about Playhaven a little bit.
Playhaven is...
Because you talked about play earlier and how important it is.
Yeah. Playhaven is is dedicated to group play activities for adults so that adults can get back into contact with that playful spirit that we were all born with.
Right.
But in a society that has a very powerful work ethic, we've gotten away from it. And play, as I've said before, is potentially meditative.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely has health benefits. We know that.
For sure.
And so for me, I traveled to India in 2008, and one of the things I saw in India is that the spirit of play is built into so much of their spirituality. So I visited an ashram, a sacred retreat center, and at the centerpiece of this ashram, and you would not believe it, is a pool table. Now, I have to say, these swamis were pool sharks, and I'm not, and I don't promote that kind of play, which is competitive and goal oriented.
Right.
But in India, there's the idea of lila, which is divine play.
Mm-hmm.
The universe was created by a creator who was just playing out of joy. The universe was created of joy, by joy, for joy. That's the basic idea in so much of Hindu creative mythology. And so we're trying to get back to that joy. And that joy is beneficial for any number of reasons, as I've mentioned, including the creative factor.
Right.
The fact that when we play, we tend to create in wonderful ways.
Right. Yeah, but because your mind is not distracted, if you will, by other things. When you play, I mean, you're kind of focused in on that, and your mind is much more receptive and open.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.